I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a
soldier. No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth. Stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ. I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error.
Go stronger.
Welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. Jesse's in Los Angeles driving the freeways. Why? He's got a movie coming out about his book on the devil and angels. And so he's got a producer going in the car, and we've got a driver for them. He'll be calling in halfway through the show, giving us an update on what he's up to. But I have my good friend, Father Charles Murr, who's been a priest for almost 45 years. Father Murr, welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show.
Thank you. Thank you, Terry. So Jesse's going to become a movie star?
No, actually, Jesse's got a man that was going to put a movie together about his book to show spiritual warfare in a movie that I think will communicate Catholic teachings on redemptive suffering and the spiritual life. So it's going to be a good movie, and they're running to all the locations. Yeah, in Los Angeles. They're going to where I think Ramirez, the Night Stalker, was in the jail. They're going to that location. They're going to where Rodney King's 210 freeway incident took place with Jess. So it's going to be an interesting day, a couple days for Jesse. But Father Murr, we're going to be talking about several items. One is the Trump team lawyer says that when the collective evidence of this massive and coordinated effort is done, they're going to show that President Trump is going to be the president of the United States for a second term. I hope and pray that they can expose this and go through all that. I just, you know, we're praying. That's what we're praying for. So that's an interesting article. Also, Father Murr, you've been on top of this, and so have I. I've read things. You've got friends in Rome regarding the McCarrick report that just came out today. Not only am I going to talk about the McCarrick report, but I'm going to talk about, I'll tell you, Vigano. I can't even say. Archbishop Vigano just came out with a response to this report, and it's going to be very interesting. He calls it fiction. So that tells you a little bit about that. And then we're going to talk about the faithful Catholics in Poland, if we have time, how they're standing up to the rioters. They're trying to vandalize statues and churches. And then this is going to be tied into the report in China. We pray for our Catholics in China. We've got some Catholic nuns being forced out of a convent because they won't join the patriotic state-run church. God bless those nuns. And then, believe it or not, we're going to reach out with Bishop Sheen's comments about hope, because this is what we need right now, Christian hope, Catholic hope, where we know we win at the end. And I'm also going to try and squeeze in how one of the great archbishops, Archbishop Samples, up in Portland, Oregon, how a Catholic should respond to suffering, because we're all suffering, and he gives a good teaching on redemptive suffering. So there's much, much more. But before we do any of that, we're going to get the good news of the gospel. And Father Murr, thanks be to God, is here to not only read the gospel, but to give us a big term, exegesis. In other words, an explanation of how the gospel applies to our own life. So Father Murr, could you be so kind to read the gospel for us?
An honor. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his apostles, "Who among you would say to his servant who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the flock, in the field, come here immediately and take your place at table? Would he not rather say to him, prepare something for me to eat, put on your apron and wait on me while I eat and drink? You may eat and drink when I'm finished. Is he grateful to that servant because that servant did what he was commanded? So should it be with you. When you have done all that you have been commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what we were obliged to do." the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Praise Jesus you, Christ.
Jesus Christ.
Wow.
Well, I think that's pretty straightforward.
It sure is.
I'm not too crazy about this translation, but what can I tell you?
But
what our Lord is saying is, you know, life and all of the responsibilities mm-hmm. of life. Now, this is something, Terry, that we should hit on a little bit every once in a while. Personal responsibility.
Amen.
Because our nation has gotten away from this.
Big time.
We have a couple of generations who really don't get it.
Nope.
Of younger people, personal responsibility.
Right.
But what our Lord is saying, you're just doing what you're supposed to do. And it's what is expected of you.
Mm-hmm.
So this is, you know, some people think that they're heroic by doing what's correct. And there are simple things that are done every day, the correct things. We're just doing what we're supposed to do. No big deal. No big deal. And we're not worthy of awards and applause and accolades. It's not. We're doing what we're supposed to do. That's it.
Well,
that's,
Father,
that's what he's telling them.
That scripture verse reminds me of Our Lady of Fatima's message about daily duty. To do your daily duty well. And also it reminds me of a book, and I know you're familiar with it, by Pierre de Caussade, called Abandonment to Divine Providence, where he points out, it's a Jesuit of the 17th century, he says that God's will is manifested moment by moment as long as we're staying faithful to our duties and our state in life. So, I mean, I just love this gospel because it keeps it pretty simple for a guy like me to say, you know what? What do? I serve my wife and family every day as a married man, and I live in the state of grace. I mean, we need to hear that more and more, because that's the message of the gospel, is live out
that's
your
right.
faith through your duties and your state in life. So there you go.
And be responsible for your state in life.
Amen.
Be responsible for your duties, right?
Well said.
No, that's it.
All right.
Personal responsibility is a big deal.
Yeah, that's kind of blown. Yeah, as you said, Father Murr, personal responsibility has been like, no, big government, that's who has to pay my rent. No, you have to work. Remember what St. Paul said, everybody, if you don't work, you don't eat. That's not me. That's St. Paul. All right. Let's bring the smartest guy into the room, Archbishop Fulton Sheen. Full Sheen ahead here at Virgin Most Powerful. Father, here's what Bishop Sheen has to say, and this is kind of a philosophical belief, a teaching, but it makes sense. He says, if you do not live what you believe, you will end up believing what you live. And I think
very good.
I think about our culture right now. Now, in our own church, if they don't know what to believe, how can they live it, Father Murr? How can they live the virtuous life if no one has taught them? And so what's happened...
It's rather a sad kettle of fish, isn't it?
Sad kettle of fish.
Yeah,
it is sad. But you see, that's why I believe what St. Henry Newman said 100 years ago, the worst thing in the Catholic Church is an ignorant laity. The laity needs to be taught, and they won't leave. So many people have left the church for what they believe the Catholic Church teaches, and it's false. So I just think that it's so important that we, you know, get back to the basics. And that's why I always refresh everybody's memory that we have Bishop Sheen's Life is Worth Living, which is a convert course of 50 half-hour shows on the commandments, the sacraments. It's awesome on marriage. And I'll give it to somebody if they want it, the disc. If they want it, if you should want it, everybody listening, call the toll-free number and tell them Terry wants me. Terry said that he would give it to me. If you want to make a donation, that's up to you. I'll give it to you for free. Now, obviously, nothing's free. But if you can't afford a donation, I still want you to have it by calling 877-526-215. Because I believe Archbishop Sheen was one of the greatest teachers in my lifetime. Now, Father Murr, could you concur on that, or do you think I'm exaggerating when I say Sheen was one of the great teachers of our own time?
Absolutely. He was. I'm trying to think who would be better.
Oh, well, if he is, maybe they're top five.
I, he's, First of all, Machine had he had two piercing eyes that were fantastic. It was amazing. Yeah. I remember just as a kid seeing him on television, and those eyes could see almost into your soul. You felt he was looking right at you. Amazing.
Yeah.
The ability, this man had the ability to communicate that was something phenomenal, just phenomenal. And I remember he gave a secret. He told priests in a retreat to priests, he said, stop trying to imitate me.
Yep.
Every time you try to imitate me, you fall on your faces. Don't do it.
Right.
Be yourselves. Get what you're saying, what you're trying to say, incorporated, understand it, and you tell it yourselves. Because what people love is authenticity. And when you're trying to be me, you're not being authentic.
Well said.
Be yourselves.
Yeah.
And he was very, 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 very sharp on that point, and it hit home. He also had something else. He had an ability that was amazing, and few people have this. Great teachers have this. I've had some outstanding teachers in my life. The best teachers that I had were those who could take complex ideas, whether they be philosophical, psychological, theological, any of the objects,
yep, right?
and take those complex things and digest them and give them to us. It was fantastic.
Well, when we come back from the break, we're going to move on. But at the last segment, we're going to talk about Bishop Sheen on hope, and he does exactly what Father Murr just said. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful. When we come back, we're going to talk about the election and the latest news on that. We'll be back with more on the Terry and Jesse Show.
A great man once said that evil is powerless if the good are unafraid. Well, you and I have a rendezvous with destiny. We'll preserve for our children this, the last best hope of man on earth, or we'll sentence them to take the last step into 1,000 years of darkness. We're at war with the most dangerous enemy that has ever faced mankind in his long climb from the swamp to the stars. And it's been said if we lose this war, and in so doing lose this great way of freedom of ours, history will report with the greatest astonishment that those that had the most to lose did the least to prevent it from happening. Well, I think it's high time now that we ask ourselves if we still even know the freedoms that were intended for us by our founding fathers. Every generation of Americans needs to know that freedom exists, not to do what you like, but having the right to do what you ought. You weren't made to fit in, my brothers and sisters. You are born to stand out. Set yourself apart from this corrupt generation. Be saints. God bless you.
Genesis 1:27 says, God created man in his own image. Male and female he created them. According to Pope St. John the 23rd, it is not true that some human beings are by nature superior and others inferior. All human beings are equal in their natural dignity. May God help us to look upon everyone as a person created in his image and likeness, and treat everyone the same without favoritism or prejudice.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back. Jesse is on the road in L.A., and Father Murr is filling in right now for him. Jesse will be calling in the next segment to give us an update. Father Murr, I know you've been following since, what, a week ago Tuesday, the election, and there's been a lot of questions about the authenticity. And I always say this, a good priest friend of mine always says this question whenever there was a issue. He said, what is the truth about this? That's what you want. What is the truth? And if the truth is that President Trump got less valid votes than Biden, then Biden's the next president. But if it's true that there's been a lot of illegal shenanigans going on, and it appears, it looks like that's the case, then we need to go back and straighten that mess out. But there's an attorney, her name is Sydney Paul, said that her team has collected evidence of massive and coordinated effort to steal the election from we, the people of the United States of America. This is a LifeSite News article. She said her legal team has identified, are you ready for this, Father? 450,000 ballots in key states cast for Biden with a no-down ballot sections made. She also alleged that the computer glitches that changed votes were no accident. And now I've read a lot about this issue through the last week. But Father Murr, you're a priest. Isn't that what we're just looking for? What is the truth here? Because, I mean, that's what we want. We don't want a banana republic where we can't trust our elections. So give me your thoughts as a priest and what you've taken from all these articles you've read on the topic of the election.
Well, I'll give you my take as a priest and as an American.
Yeah.
And as an American citizen.
Sure.
Of course, I really believe, mm-hmm. I don't have any proof for this, but right. I really believe there was fraud committed yeah. and on a large scale. Mm-hmm. I believe that. Mm-hmm. Now, because we're in a society that says, anyway, we say that we respect laws. And actually, if we don't respect laws, we've lost our society.
Amen.
It's real simple. We're a society because we have agreed on laws and we have agreed to obey those laws, right? Those
right.
who don't obey them are treated this way or that way, right? Now, it's time right now for an investigation, many investigations to go on, and that's what they're doing. I think that's what they're doing.
Yeah.
But something else has crept into this, Terry, that I think people are aware of. We just don't like to even mention it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Have you noticed that there have been no riots on the part of Trump supporters?
Of course, and I know why.
Nobody's taken to the street.
No.
Nobody's screaming.
Looting.
Nobody's
no.
bashing, looting,
yeah.
nothing. But I think something else is happening, and this scares me a little bit. People are afraid of the opposite. They're afraid of the opposite. They're afraid that if Trump had won and Biden had lost, that it could be proven right on the night of the election,
mm-hmm.
there would have been that rioting. There
right.
would have been that upset. There would have been. Well, that's all staged, programmed, paid for, and it's made to happen. What I'm afraid of is that people aren't ready for the fight that requires, and they'd rather back off and be quiet. And silence. And this scares me. This
oh, yeah.
scares me because then we're giving up our society.
Well,
we're just giving up.
Well, political.
We can't do that.
Now,
we can't do that.
Well, political correctness in the sense that they just don't want to make a wave. I get all that. I just noticed on my phone here that President Trump says that we're making big progress. Results start to come in next week. And
good.
So it sounds like the team was going to do exactly. They have to demonstrate that there was fraud. And again, if there wasn't fraud, okay, no fraud. But Father, let's be honest. On the night of the 3rd of November, the election was going one-sided towards Trump. And then all of a sudden, for 6 or 7 swing states, they stopped counting ballots. To me, that's a red flag. Why did they stop? What's going on here?
Well, that's exactly it. And these are the things that have to be investigated. And they have to be investigated because, just like you're saying, just as you're saying, Terry,
yeah.
we're not afraid of the truth.
No.
We're not afraid. If Biden won,
they won.
If the Democrats won, the
yeah.
Democrats won.
Exactly.
There's no problem with that. Well, I'm not crazy about it.
Nope.
But
I live with it.
We do. That's how our society works.
That's right.
But if But if the opposite side won, if Trump won, if the Republicans won, and for peace's sake, we curl up and go into a corner mm-hmm. of the room and don't say anything, we've lost it. We've lost it. It has to be clarified. We're talking about things being brought out in the open, transparency, sunlight as the best disinfectant. Okay, good. Then let's do that. What do we have to fear? Nothing. Nothing. And I think those who are ready to shut things down immediately, that is also suspect. That's also suspect.
I agree.
There should be an openness. There should be an openness and a collaboration on both sides to find out what is the truth. That's right. Right.
And Father,
that's my take on it.
Thank you. That's called transparency, where people can see the counting of the votes and all of that. But you know, Father, I love my church, okay? I love my church so much that when I see corruption in the church, it bothers me even inside my church. And I know that we have this corruption. Pope Francis has mentioned it. Pope John Paul, Pope Benedict talks about all the corruption that we're trying to clean up. And so I want to shift gears because I'm going into another area that it almost reminds me of a political battle of truth. And now it's going into the church and regarding the former Cardinal McCarrick report we've been waiting for years to come out. It just came out. And I know, Father, you have contacts in Rome who are very close to prelates like Vigano and others who have information on this. And I just want to say that, first of all, when the report was coming out, people who read the 450 pages report, that it's going to seek a lot of the blame on St. John Paul II, Benedict, while minimizing Pope Francis's fault. And that's what they said it was going to happen. And then when it came out today, that's pretty much what happened. I've highlighted my article from the National Catholic Register. And basically, they're saying these investigations go back years and years. And people can read it on LifeSite News. But basically, they're not naming anybody who knew McCarrick's shenanigans. And I'm being gentle. All of his corruptions in the church. Because I was hoping as a layperson, maybe you as a priest also, that we could be finding out what other bishops collaborated with this man knowing that he was who he was, a phony. And that never came out. Now, I'm just going to throw it back to you, but Archbishop Vigano issued his first response to the report like 10 seconds after the report came out. And he says, the Vatican fiction continues. So he basically is saying that this report is still not really getting down to the heart of the matter. What's your take on the Vigano and also the McCarrick report that just came out?
Gee, thanks a lot.
That's a lot to ask you. No, really, Father.
Thanks a lot. I'll tell you what I think.
Yeah, because
you're
knowledgeable.
I think that ultimately, to begin with and to end with, the present Pope has to take responsibility where the responsibility is his.
That's what I do as boss here at Virgin Most Powerful.
Yeah,
I take it.
That's what everybody has to do as a boss.
Yep.
You have to. That's what every head of family has
yep.
to do. That's what every mother has to do.
Yep.
Every kid, right?
Yep.
We've got to take, we're jumping back to what I was talking about the first time, personal responsibility.
You got it.
All right. It's easy to blame and blame and blame. Let's go on parts. First of all, the document is not transparent. It's not open. It's not clear. It's not what it promised to be.
That's true. Right?
That's
a fact.
That much is simple.
Yep.
And that's a fact.
Yep.
Now, to blame John Paul the second, this is so unfair. And why is it unfair? Because he listened. If he had one defect in my book,
everybody says
he's
this.
In heaven. There's no
yeah,
question of
sure.
that. And he was a great, great, great man. But all of us have defects. We have weaknesses. We
right.
have chins in the armor, right? If he had one, it was the constant travel. 104 trips.
Yep.
And that was his idea. I'll give him credit for that. This is how I, said he, am going to get the gospel out to the world. This is how I am going to evangelize.
Right.
This is my role as the Pope. And he believed that, and he lived that.
Yep.
And I cannot exaggerate the hours of study that every trip took him. He had to memorize the bishops of the place, the political parties of the place, the president, the cabinet members, this, that, and the other, besides learning the language.
Right.
Because at every place he didn't give speeches in English. He gave them in Vietnamese, in Korean, in Japanese.
Amazing.
This required months of preparation, and he did that work. That's how he was very dedicated. However, that said, he was not particularly taking care of business at home.
That's because he wasn't at home.
The store. He wasn't watching the store because he wasn't at home.
Exactly.
This is the problem. And many of the Roman Curia, those are the officials, the offices of the Vatican, applauded every time he announced he was going to take another trip. because he's, you know,
I get it.
The cat's away.
Pick back.
The cat's away.
Yeah.
The cat's away. And the mice, by God, they played.
Amen.
They played. And they took advantage of that situation. So we had for years, he wasn't taking care of business. And you have to take care of business, all right? You have to. And so he depended on everybody else doing what they were supposed to be doing. Let's remember something about McCarrick. This is a very important point. And anybody who's read my book, not because it's my book, but because I make a point of this, will know that the head of naming bishops for the world was Cardinal Sebastian Baggio,
mm-hmm.
B-A-G-G-I-O, all right?
Mm-hmm.
I've mentioned him on
yeah.
this program many times. All right. He was. Proof was brought to the Pope, to Paul VI, actually, before John Paul II, and to John Paul II, of his affiliation, strong affiliation, and membership with the Masonic Lodge of Europe. We're not talking about the Shriners,
right.
Okay? We're talking about the Masons who are dead against the church.
Right.
This man was naming our bishops. He named McCarrick.
Unbelievable.
Right? He named McCarrick because he was only naming what he called liberal bishops. In other words, those who were not at all tied down to any idea of law, of semblance, of order. They were free, more free thinkers. Free thinkers.
Father, let me jump in. I want to hear more. This
yeah.
is a good teaser for the break. Wow. This is interesting about what Father Murr is talking about, the former Cardinal McCarrick. You're going to want to hear the rest of this when we come back on the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. We hope to encourage you to fall deep in love with Jesus Christ and his bride, the church. We'll be right back. Help the Helpless, a Minnesota St. Paul nonprofit organization chaired by Father of Tyr and volunteers, is humbly asking you for your kind support to help the poor and the handicapped children in India and Ecuador. Through financial support from the Help of the Helpless benefactors, the children are provided with clothing, food, education, shelter, and the teachings of the Catholic Church. The mission is to help children thrive and become self-sufficient young adults leading productive lives. We also provide aid to poor families in Ecuador with food baskets, medicines, medical assistance, and help with funeral needs for the deceased. The work in India is done by Father Antonio's organization, St. Mary's. In Ecuador, the work is being done by the Servant Sisters of the Home of Mother. You can call us at 877-762-8857. To learn more, please visit our website, www.helpthehelpless.org. God bless you.
If you shop on Amazon.com, there's an easy way to support Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Just visit smile.amazon.com and type in Catholic Resource Center under the desired charity. Now, when you log into your Amazon account and purchase products, a portion of it will automatically go to support Virgin Most Powerful Radio at no cost to you. Thanks in advance for supporting CRC and VMPR, and may God richly bless you and your family.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back. I just heard from Jesse. He's going to be calling in about 5 or 10 minutes to give us an update on what he's doing in Los Angeles. Father Charles Murr is giving us some information that you're not going to find very easily, and that is the regards to the former Cardinal McCarrick. So, Father, can you give us a little bit more of the story? Because I'm on the edge of my chair. Can you kind of repeat a little bit for those who just tuned in?
Well, don't be on the edge of your chair, Terry. Hang on. I hope the chair's got arms. Listen, I've got to say this before I continue. As Americans, and I'm putting myself in that category because I am a proud one.
Of course,
we have a mistrust of conspiracy theories. Mm-hmm. Okay, we just do.
Yeah.
So often I would talk about this, that, and the other thing that I knew, and I knew them for facts, to people, even to the clergy, and you would see the rolling of eyes. Conspiracy theory. Well, the problem is that there are conspiracies. Mm-hmm. There really are.
Oh yeah.
I'm not talking about the, you know, there's a conspiracy behind every tree and this, that, the other thing.
I get that.
That's, you know, that you can get crazy too. I understand that. But we have a particular group in Europe, above all in Europe, and I mark that because it's a different kind of reality, the European Freemason mind, as opposed to in the United States or anywhere else in the world. But for centuries, they have been attacking the church, and they've been very successful in attacking the church. One of the things that they tried to do in, mm-hmm. I believe it was 1980 to 82, mm-hmm. was to topple the Vatican finances.
Right. Remember that.
Which they almost did. And if you want to go back, anybody wants to go back, they can find that these men who went to, who are in prison, who committed suicide, or who were killed, were all Freemasons in a particular Freemasonic lodge.
Interesting.
P2, Propaganda Due of Rome in Italy. And this was brought up in their trial. They all admitted being members of it, and this was what their goal was, to topple the Vatican finances. So what I'm trying to say with all of that, just that example, there are conspiracies that are real, and that one is real.
Right.
There's also one man who did an awful lot of damage to the church, and his name is Cardinal Sebastian Baggio. And he was in charge of naming all of the bishops of the world for a dozen years, for over 12 years, all right? He named McCarrick a bishop because McCarrick was a liberal. Mm-hmm. That's what he wanted. He wanted liberal-minded bishops all over. Well, that's fine. McCarrick was named. John Paul II, as I say, a very good pope, this was during Paul VI, because he was ordained in
78 is when John.
I might be getting the pontificates wrong, the popes wrong, but it was John Paul II, I believe, was made him a cardinal. Mm-hmm. Yes, he did.
Yep.
Yes, he did. So, but I think it was Paul VI who made him a bishop. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But it was done through the influence of Baggio. And when these things were brought up to John Paul II, there were accusations made. Here's something very important that people have to understand. We're dealing with human beings here. And every human being comes with his own background.
Amen.
John Paul II, Karl Wojtyla's background was communism. He came out of communist Poland.
That's right.
And he understood what a dictator was, a dictatorship was. He lived his entire life under the Nazis, the German dictators, Hitler, and under the communist dictators who took over from there. He understands what this is. One of the tricks of those dictators, because they have no regard for truth, was to create lies.
Yep, big
about
ones.
Any political enemy. Mm-hmm. This is called, they would call it in the CIA or FBI or any sort of organization looking at organized crime, disinformation. This was purposely planted and developed lies.
Yep.
To eliminate your enemy. One of the great lies that they would do in Poland, when he was a priest there, anyone who raised his voice just a little bit too loudly against the communist regime, a priest, any priest who did this, whether it be from the pulpit or just even privately, all of a sudden was accused of being a womanizer, or of being a practicing homosexual,
right?
Or of stealing great quantities of gold from God knows where, and this was planted all over,
right?
Well, you try to put out a fire like that, and these rumors were fanned. What I'm trying to say is John Paul II, when he was a priest and a bishop, understood this because they had to deal with this daily, and it was done by the Communist Party, and it was done to undermine and weaken the church. Everybody knew this. They dealt with this.
Right.
This is where he's coming from. So when they come to him with this, with these rumors, of this, all right?
McCarrick, well, he says that.
He immediately says this is impossible to think of a bishop
right.
in such a predicament. Right. That can't be. And other people around him, not necessarily good people surrounding him, told him, yes, Holy Father, don't you worry about it. We'll take care of it. You right. just continue planning your next trip, if you will. Yeah. I'm being a little bit flippant.
No, but I get that. But many people have told me this.
And, and that's it.
Yeah,
that's it.
I get it.
So, now, right. Now, it comes to Benedict. Benedict was told about this.
Right.
And he was told, these are not just rumors.
No, it's fact.
There's something to it.
Yep.
There's something to it. Benedict asked, he asked, I believe that's how it went. He asked, McCarrick was, if this was true, McCarrick swore that it was not.
That's right. Yep, he did say
when
that.
When McCarrick turned 75 years of age,
that's right.
Quite diplomatically,
yep.
The Pope accepted his resignation as Archbishop of Washington.
That's right.
All right?
Yep.
And told him to keep a low figure.
Yep.
Just to that's it. Well, he did. That's how it worked, and that would have been it. Because, you know, it's not about taking someone out and making him into this throwing him onto a bonfire and crucifying him first and then filleting him and this. We're not into all of that.
Nope.
If you can avoid scandal, avoid
right.
it.
Exactly.
And avoid giving, right? Avoid it. However, this was almost unavoidable.
Got it.
But he told him to keep a low profile. He kept a low profile until Pope Francis.
That's right. He got resurrected.
Pope Francis resurrected
exactly.
this man, gave him appointments that were very important, and they all had to do with
China,
diplomatic liaisons between
exactly.
the Vatican and China, and they all concerned a great deal of money.
Yes, yes.
Well, why don't we admit this and talk about it, put it on the table?
Right.
You don't start blaming everybody else and
right.
take no blame yourself.
No, that's
anyway.
Correct.
I think I've spoken.
I think you had.
I've
let me just check before we get into Vigano. Let me see if Jesse's on the line, Mr. Engineer. Do we have Jess Romero calling in, Jesse? Are you there, brother?
Reporting for duty, sir.
I love it. Jesse, we're talking, before I ask you a question, we're talking about the McCarrick Report. And Father Charles Murr was explaining that, you know, a lot of this isn't coming out in the report. And we're going to talk about Archbishop Vigano saying that his response is the Vatican's fiction continues. So that tells you what he thinks of the report. But before we get into that, Jess, why don't you tell our audience what you're doing? You're in a car on the Interstate 10. Yeah. Tell us more about what you're up to.
First of all, I'd like to say hi to Father Murr. What a blessing you are to Virgin Most Powerful that
Amen.
We can count on you.
Amen.
The two of you are two of my greatest heroes.
Yeah.
I love the two of you.
That's funny.
And it's great. It's great to hear you on together. I love it. I love it.
Well, God
Thank
bless you
very
God.
Much. Well, I'm actually here in Southern California, sir. I'm not that far from you.
Uh-huh.
I'm here in East Los Angeles, mm-hmm. and I'm actually going from one botanica, which is these occult little shops in Hispanic neighborhoods where they promote Satanism and witchcraft and sorcery and psychics. I'm going from one into another. We're taking pictures and we're asking questions of the owners and stuff because I'm preparing, you know, it looks like somebody's interested in making a movie.
About your book, right?
Yeah, about my book, The Devil and the City of Angels. So so we're taking a look at in depth the way Satanism and witchcraft has impacted the Hispanic community.
Ooh.
Because I documented in my book, so we're actually on the ground right now seeing it for our very own eyes. What they've done, they've exported the occult into Hispanic communities with these little innocuous storefronts called botanicas, where they adorn it with Catholic statuary and images.
Oh, no.
So the low-information Catholic says, oh, this is a Catholic religious articles and stuff. So they walk in there, and of course, they don't know their faith very well, so you have witches and wizards in there, and they'll call you to the back room and say, hey, by the way, you like that statue of St. Michael? Oh, you know what? If you come back here, we could tell you your fortune, and don't you know where you're going to be at next year at this time, how much money you're going to make? What about your love potion? Does your husband love you? You want him to love you more? And so they use all these superstitious practices to hook Catholics into the occult. So we're going to spend today and tomorrow just going to different of these botanicas and just taking pictures, asking
yep.
questions, looking
Good.
Around.
Great, Jess.
So, Intel.
There you go. Your police background is coming in handy here. So, Jess, yeah. our prayers are with you. Be safe out there, brother. And I know you'll be back on, today's Tuesday. Thursday you'll be back in the saddle, right? You
yep,
got it.
Got it.
Okay, Jess, thanks again for checking in with
All
us.
Right, God bless
God
you.
Love you. You
All
bet. Right. You're
God
listening
you
to the Terry and Jesse Show. That was Jesse Romero in Los Angeles, East L.A., doing some intel work for his new movie. His book. Can you believe it? I can too. I hope it'll help people come and find Christ through that movie. We'll be back with more about the McCarrick Report on Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
Jesus said to the apostles in Luke chapter 10, "Whoever listens to you listens to me, and whoever rejects you rejects me." According to Saint Boniface, in her voyage across the ocean of this world, the church is like a great ship being pounded by the waves of life's different stresses. Our duty is not to abandon ship, but to keep her on course. May our Lord help us remain ever faithful to his church, to aid and defend her.
Baby move in your tummy?
How does the baby eat?
Can the baby hear me?
How did the baby get in there?
Wow, a pregnancy can sure generate a lot of questions, but what's important is that a baby is a baby, inside and out of the womb, not just after birth, but 9 months before. at conception.
That's right. Every baby is a miracle. Hello, my name is Marianne Kuharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of alternatives or assistance or would like to support the work of Pro-Life Across America, please visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org or better yet, simply dial #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword pro-life. Pro-Life Across America is non-political and totally educational.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception.
Pro-Life Across America, the Billboard people.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871. Because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. Father Charles Murr is filling in for Jesse. You just heard about what Jesse's up to for the next 2 days. I have so much more today, but I think I'm going to put a lot of this for tomorrow's show regarding the faithful Catholics in Poland and much, much more about the Chinese nuns and China being taken down by the communists, because I like to end shows, I'll be honest with you, as a solution. And I always say it's our Catholic faith. And Father Murr and I were talking about a book yesterday called The Treasure of the Catholic Wisdom, edited by Father John A. Hardin. He took all the great minds of the 2,000-year history of the Church. And at the end, he has a section by no other than Fulton J. Sheen on faith, hope, and charity. And I wanted to talk about hope because so many people after this election, they're like, down, oh, we lost. Well, we don't know for sure. We'll find out. But still, people are down. So, Father Murr, Bishop Sheen starts out saying that it's not so much what happens in life that matters. It is rather how we react to it. And he says, you can always tell the character of a person by the size of the things that make him mad, because modern man lives in a world which has reference to nothing but itself. That's true. It follows that when depressions, war, death enter into his two-dimensional world, he tumbles into the most hopeless despair. Is that describing our culture right now, Father Murr? Did I lose him? Okay, I lost him. He'll be coming right back on the line. Mr. Engineer, try and get Father Murr back on. So here's the point. A man can joyfully work, you know, like at a picture puzzle, so long as he believes that the puzzle can be put together into a composite whole. But if the puzzle's a hoax, right, or if it wasn't made by a rational mind, then one would go mad trying to work it out. And I see that right now in our culture. We're trying to figure this all out right now, and it's not working. And I see that Father Charles tried to call me, Richard, so you can give him a call. That'd be great. And so anyhow, I mention this because we're forever trying to lift himself up by his own bootstraps. That's our world, eternally playing the role of his own redeemer. You know, I don't need Jesus Christ. I'm my own God. Doesn't that sound familiar? He develops all kinds of psychoses and becomes eccentric because he's out of his center, which is God. And let's face it, is there an increase of alcoholism? It's due to the great extension of leaving God out of their life. You got all kinds of drug addictions. I think I have Father Murr back on. Father Murr, I just kind of set the stage about hope and how Fulton Sheen is kind of pointing out that our culture is lacking supernatural hope. So I'd like to bring you in if you're there. Are you there, Father Murr?
I'm here.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, you know, that's what I just set up for you, and that is Fulton Sheen is saying that our world is so mixed up because it doesn't have any meaning or purpose or hope in God, and they don't even believe in God, so we're acting like God doesn't exist, and look what the mess we have with that attitude. What Fulton Sheen is saying is we had to have supernatural hope in God, and so I know you read the little chapter because I sent it to you. Give me your take on what Sheen is trying to communicate to our culture in 2020.
Well, it really comes down to that. It really comes down to that. He says it most eloquently and beautifully. I read it last night, and I wish I had it in front of me right now to read parts.
It's okay.
I don't. Right. But it's beautiful, but it comes down to this. Hope is a gift of God.
Amen.
If you don't believe in God, you really would lose hope.
That's right.
You really would hope, because you don't have the source of it. Yep. And you don't have where hope is leading. Hope is dependent on a promise. God gives that promise, and he fulfills that promise. He's faithful to that. But if you don't believe in God, where are you going?
Yep.
If you don't believe in God, you have no truth. There is no such thing as truth. Truth doesn't exist by itself. God is truth. It's not, truth doesn't exist in the air somewhere.
Yep.
It is God. All of the virtues are God-like, and they belong to God. If we've abandoned God, we've abandoned virtue.
Well said.
And of the theological virtues, faith, hope, and charity, mm-hmm. hope is really the thing that gets us through. Hope really is, it gets us through to the end of life. We hope because we see indications of light in the not too far off distance, things that can be achieved, and we achieve them. We have hope in our children. We have hope in our careers. We have hope in our education. We have hope in our relationship with God,
that's right,
in our relationship with each other. But if we don't have God, we're missing that. We're just missing that. The whole aspect of hope is of God. You don't have God, you don't really have hope.
In that same chapter, Father Merg, and the question comes, God permits evil things for a reason of a greater good related to his love and the salvation of souls. And here's what Bishop Sheen says. God does permit evil. In the strong language of Scripture, he that spared not even his own son, but delivered him up for us all. Our Lord told Judas, this is your hour. Evil does have its hour. All that it can do within that hour is to put out lights of the world, but God has his day. I love that paragraph. And then he says this, Father, and I'll turn it back to you. The evil of the world is inseparable from human freedom. Boy, that's pretty. Hence, the cost of destroying the world's evil would be the destruction of human freedom. Certainly, none of us want to pay that high price, particularly since God would never permit evil unless he could draw some good from it. That answers the question about evil, doesn't it?
It actually does. Because we remember this too. Remember this too. We are created in the image of God. Mm-hmm. All right?
Yep.
What is that image? What is that image? Does that mean that God has 10 toes and 10 fingers and 2 eyes? No, not at all.
Right.
We're created in the image of God in that, and this is essential. It's essential to philosophy, to theology, and even psychology, in that God is free. God is totally free. And God gave us the gift of freedom.
Right.
That's the image of God. That's the image of God. Now, we can get more complex into the whole thing. The reason he gave us this freedom,
yes,
is for loving.
Amen.
Love is free. All right, but that we go into another area there.
Yes.
However, getting back to it, you are only free if you can decide between at least one of two directions. You are not free if you can only go one direction.
That's right.
When people say hell doesn't exist, and I'm with them. I'm with them. I wish hell didn't exist. I'm telling you, I really do. I really do. I wish it didn't exist. But if it didn't, and I could only get to heaven, then I'm not a free agent.
That's right.
And the image of God is not living in me. If I can only get to heaven, what merit is there for me? There's
right.
None. if I can only do that as a free agent because I have the real possibility of going to hell. Heaven and hell, I have to choose. That's freedom.
Thank you. That is a very good explanation. It made me think of what Fulton Sheen said. The only value in saying yes to God is you have the freedom to say no. And then there's one more paragraph I'd like to, if we have time, Father, to catch up with. He talks about the evil which God permits must not be judged by its immediate effects, but rather by its ultimate effects. You know, he says, when you go to a theater, do you walk out because you see a good man suffering in the first act? No. You give the dramatist credit for a plot. Why cannot you do that much for God? I thought, wow, that when I read that the first time, I thought, wow, that hit me right between the eyes. You know, that's the thing about our situation in the culture right now. We see good and evil being pulled at right as we speak in 2020. This has been a crazy year. And I think of what Fulton Sheen is really giving us. Wouldn't you call this good, solid philosophy of life, Father? Or is that not?
Of course it is. Of course it is.
Isn't it true that good philosophy breeds good theology? Is that still an axiom today?
That is because theology depends on reason and faith, reason and faith, not just one or the other, both of them,
right?
You've got to have a good philosophical base to have a theological base.
Makes sense to me, Father Murr. You know, Father, the time is already gone. It goes by so fast. I always enjoy having you on the show, and I thank you for that. Father Murr, we talk about this Five Stones of David. We talk about getting Catholics to get the confession on a regular basis. We talk about reading their Bible every day. We talk about Eucharistic adoration, penance, confession, all these things as what we used to have 50, 60 years ago, Catholics understood. And so we find that many Catholics haven't been taught this. We've almost had amnesia about our fundamentals. So we keep going back to those fundamentals of the Catholic faith. And I think that that's going to bear much fruit. And I appreciate you telling us today, you know, your take and sharing the gospel with us, because 45 plus years as a priest, you've learned a lot on how to, you know, communicate people with the gospel. And I thank you for taking the time to be on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Father Murr, could we get a priestly blessing before we ask you a final question? And you know what it is.
Absolutely.
Yes.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
With your spirit. May the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost descend upon you all and remain forever.
Amen. And just a quick note, Father, we've got Bishop Joseph Strickland coming on right after this show, everybody. If you can't listen to it on your station right now, go to our YouTube channel or go to our website and you can get the free app to listen to Bishop Strickland. He's a man that's really just telling it like it is. We need more bishops like him, and we have him here once a week on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Father Charles Murr, I ask you the final question. What state should we be living in?
The state of grace.
Amen. That's it. And that's the bottom line. That's what we do here at Virgin Most Powerful with clarity and charity. Help you get to heaven. And I want to thank all those who have been supporting us for these 3 years of Virgin Most Powerful Radio. We couldn't do it without you. If you want to become a monthly donor and start getting a bunch of downloads of Scott Hahn and Bishop Sheen material, call 877-526-2151 or go to our website, virginmostpowerfulradio.org, or call us at 877-526-2151. Up next, Bishop Joseph Strickland from the Diocese of Tyler, Texas, and we're going to be talking on the commandments and about some of the moral issues of our day. Don't miss Bishop Strickland. He's worth it. Refreshing to hear a good bishop preach the gospel. God love you.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole church, grant it love and the light of thy spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great high priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere, and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.